Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Glad you could join us today. Big, big weekend in the church here in the Twin Cities. Saturday, that's coming up tomorrow. If it's rebroadcast, it's today or yesterday. But we have an amazing event that's going to take place in the Twin Cities. And that is that 9 young men are going to be ordained to the priesthood in the Twin Cities. And we're excited about that. In fact, a little bit later on here this morning on the show, we're going to hear from a couple of them. We're going to hear from Deacon Michael McClellan and also a good friend of mine, Deacon Michael Daly. We're going to talk to both of them about the process that they went through and some of the things that they're thinking about prior to being ordained. And that's a good thing for you. It's a good thing for me in the church here in the Twin Cities because, you know, the priesthood is so important to us as Catholics. And we don't look at the priesthood as just like utilitarian usage, you know, that they're sacramental dispensers or whatever it might be. These are really solid young men that are part of the body of Christ, and they are brothers in Christ, and they have a part to play in the mission of Jesus. And that's what this is all about, isn't it? It's the mission of Jesus that started 2,000 years ago to change the world, to bring the love and the mercy and forgiveness to the world, and Jesus continues to work through his church today, and priests play such an important role. So we're gonna hear from a couple of them, and I also want to talk about this morning really cultivating your heart for change. Are you ready for change in your life? As the seasons change, so we also change in our own lives, and we go through seasons. Even your family goes through a change in seasons from the time that you're very young and you are just newly married and you have children, and the children grow up and the children leave home. There are changes and seasons in our life, and God wants to move in every season of our life. But there is something required of us. And we see in Scripture that every time that God moves in the life of Israel, prior to that move, there was something that was required of God's people. They had to do something, and God moved in their life. And you know what? That's the same today. So I want to talk to you a little bit about change, and that's going to come up after we talk to a couple of our transitional deacons. We have permanent deacons in the archdiocese, but we also have transitional deacons, and a transitional deacon is a young man who is on the way to priesthood. By the way, the Catholic Spirit has a great article about these 9 men preparing to be ordained priests, and you can go to the Catholic Spirit online and just do a search on 9 men, and you'll come up with that article. It's a great article that talks about who they are and kind of the process that they go through. Well, I hope you are having a great time in Christ right now in your life, and that you are, just a quick reminder, that you are paying attention to the basic fundamentals of the faith, and that you are praying every day, and that you have that relationship in prayer, and that you're encountering Christ daily in Scripture in one way or another, whether that's in Mass or whether it's Lectio Divina or some kind of devotional reading. I hope that you are encountering Jesus today in Scripture because he has something to say to you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to give you direction. He wants to reveal his will and the will of the Father through words and deeds. I also hope that you are going to Mass as often as possible. You know that the Mass and the Eucharist is the greatest source of grace for us as Catholics. And grace is the life of the Trinity, and we need that life in today's battles. We need that wisdom from Scripture, and sometimes we can find ourselves going a day, 2 days, a week, 2 weeks, a month, a couple months, without really paying attention to the basics of being a disciple of Jesus. And if we don't pay attention to that, then it's going to compromise our ability to evangelize and to share the good news with other people. So a quick reminder to you and to myself, by the way, that we have to pay attention to those daily, daily disciplines. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk with Deacon Michael McClellan, who's going to be ordained on Saturday at the cathedral. I hope you can be there. There's going to be 9 young men altogether. We'll hear from 2 of them today. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back in just a moment.
Rediscover. In a world full of fast-paced decisions and growing choices in healthcare, you may feel the personalized and thoughtful care of the family dentist has been lost to time. In the western suburbs, Drs. Michael and Janet Zingali have opened the Dentist's House in Edina. At their new practice just off 44th and France Avenue, they provide comprehensive dentistry, which includes diagnosis, treatment, and care of your teeth, gums, and jaw. They accept most dental insurance, but for those without insurance, they provide a unique membership program that covers annual and even emergency exams. Plus, members receive discounts on most needed services. Their website, dentisthouse.com, has interactive media, which will help you understand your dental problems and their treatment. Your entire family, young and old, will appreciate the Dentist's House. For an appointment, call 952-929-9131. 952-929-9131. Dr. Mike and Dr. Janet offer a comfortable approach to dentistry, and their dental care is health-centered with a full spectrum of modern dental services. The Dentist's House in Edina.
So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and today we are visiting with a couple of seminarians who are going to be ordained tomorrow at the cathedral in St. Paul. It's going to be a big, big day. In fact, we're going to be talking with 2 Deacon Michaels today, Deacon Michael McClellan and also Deacon Michael Daly. And Deacon McClellan, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you, Jeff. It's good to be here with you.
It's good to have you with us. Well, here we are the day before, and it's exciting.
Yes, right? Definitely.
The place is going to be packed tomorrow with, we got 9 now, don't we?
9 being ordained, yes.
9 being ordained, and that's the most in recent years.
Yes, it's been a few years, I think, since we've had a class this big. A few have come close, but
it's going to be exciting. I want to talk to you a little bit about your journey. I know you went to St. John Vianney.
Yes.
For 4 years, and you've been 4 years here at the St. Paul
Seminary. That's correct. Yep.
I'm curious, when was the first time that you realized that you might have a vocation as a priest?
You know, I was in sixth grade when I first started thinking about it, so about 12 years old. I'd recently started altar serving at my parish, particularly for school mass, and I remember specifically after school mass one day, one of the priests at my parish asked me if I'd ever thought about being a priest before.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of laughed a little and told him no. But he asked me if I wouldn't consider just praying about the possibility of being a priest, praying about what God's plan was for me in my life. And I remember him specifically asking me if I would ask God if I was supposed to be a priest. And so maybe a couple of weeks after that, I remembered that Father had asked me to do that. And I thought, okay, I can do what Father asked. So I was just at home in my room, and I remember just simply saying, very naively, God, am I supposed to be a priest? And in that moment, I had this strange feeling that I was supposed to be a priest. It was very, very surreal.
Sure.
And I guess it was just the beginning of everything.
Right. Now, what parish did you grow up in?
I grew up at Divine Mercy in Faribault.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Very good. So at what point did you go from, well, I could be called to be a priest, to you're fairly certain?
Well, that probably was maybe even after I joined seminary.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, when I was a senior in high school, towards the end of my senior year, I was willing to even kind of talk about it with family and friends. Hadn't really even mentioned it to my parents before that point, even though I'd been thinking about it for 6 years at that point. But I was open to at least checking out the seminary at that point. I'd say in my first couple of years at SJV, I was pretty sure that maybe that God actually was calling me to be a priest. Just different confirmations going along with different experiences and different retreats and things that we'd go on that I kept feeling the Lord's call to move forward. So
I imagine it's not so unlike myself, for example, when I was dating my girlfriend, then got engaged, and then the days were coming down to when we were going to actually get married. And and I grew in confidence. This is the right thing for me. Is that what you're experiencing also?
Exactly, yes. Yep, that's very accurate, I think.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, when you first started off on this journey and you entered the St. Paul Seminary, you had to have some image in your mind of what the priesthood was going to be. And that will most likely even become more clear to you in the next few years. But during your time at the seminary, how did your view of the priesthood change based on the formation that you received?
Sure. Well, I think I'd like to think that it grew and became deeper. I used to think of the priesthood more as the priest doing things instead of, I've come to think of the priest more of being a priest, being united to Jesus in a particular way, being conformed to Christ crucified, and just the unity that the priest has in a particular way with Christ's own priesthood. I think it's grown in a spiritual way, I think.
And as along the journey, are there any particular saints or devotions that are near and dear to your heart particularly?
Yeah, well, I pray the rosary every day. Love our Blessed Mother, so that's very dear to me. One of my favorite saints is Saint Therese of Lisieux, so mm-hmm. I call upon her intercession. And then Saint John Vianney as well, the patron of diocesan priests.
Sure. Well, so as we count down the hours now to this fantastic ordination that's going to take place, what are a couple of the common questions you're getting from people?
Well, everyone, first of all, wants to know where I'm going. That's usually the first question.
In terms of a parish.
It's in terms of
they
a parish.
They all want you.
Well, I hope so. And then just kind of what I'm thinking and mm-hmm. feeling and what's been going on.
So I'll ask the same question. Not where you're going.
Sure.
But what are you thinking? Where's your heart and mind at just hours before you're going to be ordained?
Well, it's very surreal. It's hard to believe it's happening. It's always been so far away, you know, going through 8 years of seminary. It kind of felt like it never would arrive. And now that it's here, it feels like just yesterday I started at SJV. Just very surreal. I feel very much carried by so many people's prayers through mm-hmm. all this. Approaching with the ordination just tomorrow. So.
Sure. That's exciting. How can we pray for you? We've got quite an audience here in the Twin Cities that listens to the Rediscover Hour. And in the tomorrow, you're going to be ordained. But going forward, how can we pray for you?
Well, please pray that I'll be a holy priest, that the Lord gives me all the graces I need to bring His love to everyone that I encounter, and that I have the strength to do His will.
Fantastic. Well, I want to thank you on behalf of our listeners for saying yes to Christ. And I'm reminded of what Pope John Paul II said back in the, I think it was back in the late 70s. He said that priests are needed more than ever because Christ is needed more than ever. And so you're coming into your priesthood at a time where people need that, need you. And thank you for your yes.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
Talking with Deacon Michael McClellan, who is going to be ordained tomorrow at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Remember to pray for him. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Deacon Michael Daly. And that's coming up next on the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
For all who love to cook and share meals with family and friends, and for all who are fascinated by the wonders and grandeur of the Vatican, the Swiss Guard is pleased to offer you the Vatican Cookbook. Featuring the favorite dishes of Pope Francis, Pope Benedict XVI, and St. John Paul II, the Vatican Cookbook is an unforgettable collection of over 70 exceptional recipes served at Vatican tables for centuries. Save 30% when you order the Vatican Cookbook online at sophiainstitute.com and use coupon code RELEVANTRADIO. The Vatican Cookbook is more than just a cookbook. It features superb photographs that take you behind the scenes to secret and special places in Vatican City. You'll explore the hallowed halls of St. Peter's Peter's Basilica, and you'll read stories and legends of the Swiss Guard that have been handed down since the days of Michelangelo. Available now by Sophia Institute Press. Order today at sophiainstitute.com. That's S-O-P-H-I-A. Apply coupon code RELEVANTRADIO at checkout to get 30% off your entire order.
Love that music, Matt Maher, the Rediscover Hour. What a great guy. What a great guy. He has become a friend of the Rediscover Hour and a friend of mine. And what a witness. And when you listen to Matt Maher's music, which you just did there, he is not only talented as far as music goes, but what a songwriter. I mean, he's got theological depth to him that is incredible. Speaking of theological depth, tomorrow, big day in the Twin Cities, 9 men going to be ordained to the priesthood. If you can get out there, get out there, but get out there early because we're expecting a sellout. We're not selling tickets, but you know what I mean? There's going to be a lot of people there and a lot of family coming from all over the world to be a part of the ordination of these young men. And today we're talking to a couple of them. Just spoke to Deacon Michael McClellan, and I got to tell you, we were on the fly with this. We were running around the seminary yesterday trying to get these interviews. And so the quality of it, you can notice that we sound like we're in a room on the fly. Well, we are. And we're just lucky to have an opportunity to talk to a couple of these young men. And quick reminder to pray for the guys, even today on Friday. Pray for these guys that are going to be ordained. It's a big step in their life, not unlike a marriage. You know, I remember the day before I married Emily 38 years ago, June 3rd, 38 years ago. And I remember how nervous I was. I made my decision. I was firm. But sure, it's a big day. And anytime you enter into something big, like marriage or ordination, whether you're a priest or a deacon, just because of the magnitude and how special the event is, it does something to you. It stirs you up inside, and these young men are in for one of the biggest days of their life, and I'm asking you to pray for them, and I'm asking you to maybe even send them a note and just encourage them in the days after they are ordained. So we're going to join up with another interview here with Deacon Michael Daly.
It's a real pleasure for me to welcome to the Rediscover Hour a longtime friend of our family, and that is Deacon Michael Daly, who's going to be ordained a priest in 24 hours from now. Earlier, we spoke with Deacon McClellan to get a little insight into what he's thinking, and now we'd like to talk to Deacon Daly. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you, Jeff. Great to be here, too.
I'm so excited for you, and it seems like just yesterday that I saw you running around the house over at your parents' house, and and then time goes by, and here you are. You're going to be ordained a priest, and I think you're going to be a great priest. But I want to find out a little bit about your background in terms of what went into the process of making this decision, starting with the influence of your own family, because they're very, very well known for the mission work that they do.
Yes, yeah, that's a great point. Obviously, in any vocation, it's a seed planted by the Lord, and in order for the seed to grow, it needs watering and cultivating the soil and just other elements. And my parents, my siblings, extended family, the orphanage that my family's involved with have been very influential in encountering Jesus and desiring to give my life to him. So I am very indebted to all those who have supported me and prayed for me and journeyed with me through this call to the priesthood. And just very grateful, very excited, and yeah, a mixture of emotions.
Sure. Now, you were originally going to Notre Dame.
Yes.
Right? You were pursuing...
I was pre-med in theology, philosophy, so...
So what happened?
The Lord swept me off my feet. So I grew up going down to the orphanage, watching my mom, who's a nurse, and my dad, who's a doctor, serve the poor through medicine, and was deeply inspired by that. So I, since I was young, desired to go to med school and pursued science and all that. But after my freshman year of college, I spent a summer in Calcutta, India, working with the Missionaries of Charity, and just their witness of their prayer life and their fearless way of loving the poorest of the poor without any distinction, as well as those who have means and resources.
was deeply moving for me and tested my desire to go to med school while asking myself, well, Lord, what do you want for my life? And how have you created me to serve you? Because I want to build your kingdom, not my own, you know? And how can my gifts serve the poor? And it was through their prayer life, their contemplative silent witness that really moved me to see that there's something deeper that inflames their hearts to go to the fringes of society and, and serve Jesus. So that was a big stepping point. And it started, too, with just in high school. I went to St. Thomas Academy and going, visiting the Blessed Sacrament in the chapel and going to Mass during lunch at times. And it just slowly, gradually grew like any vocation would. It's just step by step.
And then you entered the seminary here. How many years ago was that?
That was 5 years ago.
5 years ago and went by quickly. Is there some point during your formation at the seminary where you feel like, okay, I've kind of gone over the edge where it's a yes?
That's a good question. So I was discerning missionary priesthood or diocesan priesthood, and the Lord very graciously opened and closed doors. So it was pretty clear, but definitely had to wrestle with the desires of my heart and asking him what he wants to do with my life and his priesthood, because it's not my own, it's for the people. And I spent some time in Honduras and Haiti really discerning vocations down there, but just didn't receive peace. And St. Augustine, or Dante, says his will is our peace. And so tried to have that as the reference point to move forward. And he just kept on saying to remain here and serve his people here. And there's been a lot of peace and a lot of joy. And
well, I can see it. You can't tell on radio, but I'll tell you, he's got a great big smile on his face. So when you were a young man growing up, you went down to Honduras. You saw some great priests in your life. And I know that you have one of those mentors that's coming to the Twin Cities to join you, and that's Father Rick.
Yes.
An amazing man from Haiti.
Yes.
How has he influenced your life, and who are some of the saints that have really been an influence in your life?
That's a great question. Yeah, so growing up, my family wasn't too involved with our local parish. And as a kid, I was captivated by the Eucharist. But as for liturgy, I felt like there was something more, and I didn't really understand how to plug into diocesan life. And in the back of my mind, my mom would always be like, oh, it'd be so great if one of my boys became a priest. And I just kind of dismissed it and pretended like I didn't really hear that. But deep down, I knew like that's what the Lord was asking of me. But again, I wanted to go to med school. So, but it wasn't until I met Father Rick when I was 18 and went to Haiti. He's a both priest and a physician, and seeing him work with the Missionaries of Charity in the slums of Port-au-Prince, and he just has this fearless way of loving. He believes in the resurrection. He fights for the poor, for those who don't have a voice in society, and with such humility and compassion. And he never backs down from any challenge and never backs down from the enemy, the devil. But it all stems from his prayer life and celebrating the Mass. And the Mass is down there because there's so much disease and violence. Every Mass down there that he says is a funeral. And so it's very challenging, but very grace-filled, because you know why he's so joyful is only because something supernatural, which is Jesus in the Eucharist. And Jesus and the poor. So he's been a great saint in my life. My parents, their love and their marriage, that's been a great witness since I was born.
Sure.
The fruit that's born. And then there's other great game changers down in Honduras, Reinhardt and Hermana Colby, and other persons who have given their lives to the Lord in little yeses along the way. It's not just one big leap, but they just are faithful to him.
I'm curious about your formation. Were there moments along the journey here at the Church of St. Paul in the Twin Cities where there were truths that you suddenly learned that were like big pillars in your life when it came to the priesthood? I know that when I grew up Catholic, you know, we had this idea of, okay, that's a priest, that's what a priest does. But after you go through the formation process, it has to change when you're kind of on the inside now, really seeing it.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good question. I think what's been most inspiring to me are the priests that pray. And that's the transformation that happens in the seminary is, yeah, you gain more knowledge about Jesus, but the most transformative thing is knowing Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I've encountered the priests here at the St. Paul Seminary through my spiritual director, formation director, and other priests who pray every, you know, morning, holy hour, daily mass, spontaneous prayers, whatever, that you know they know Jesus heart to heart, that it's not just, they're not just a teacher, but they're a witness of a life. And for me, you know, a lot of guys, men, learn through imitation. So I really love seeing a life given to the Lord. And it's not so much what they say, but it's kind of their presence, their character, their integrity.
Right. Well, I agree with you. There's something about, and I think this was true with Mother Teresa. It was true with Mother Angelica. It's true with Maximilian Kolbe. We could go on and on. But when you see somebody that is totally sold out, a living sacrifice for Christ with laser focus in their life, there's something very, very attractive about that. And nobody would say that a wishy-washy, lukewarm person is attractive to me. You know, there's nothing about that that's attractive. But that being sold out really is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no guts, no glory.
Another way of putting it.
Yeah.
What is that, 3 Thessalonians? I don't recall. Well, so here we are, we're 24 hours away. What's a common question that everyone's asking you?
One is where I'm going, which I'll be going to Shakopee, St. Joachim and Anne's.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, very humbled and begging for prayers just to give them
you
Jesus.
You'll be with Father Lundgren.
Yes, Father Eric Lundgren.
The dynamic duo over there in the South.
We'll see what the Lord
does. I
got
to tell you, though, I graduated from Chaska, and they were our enemies.
Oh,
but
boy.
I will learn to live with you.
Yeah.
So what's another question people are asking?
Yeah, just how I'm doing, what I'm thinking.
What do you think?
And it's just a mixture of emotion. I was talking to my dad the other day, and I think it's both, you know, you're celebrating the glory of the priesthood and just feel overwhelmed by how the Lord's using such an earthen vessel, but desiring to give my whole heart to Him and have this undivided love. So just in such sacred humility, trying to tread lightly with that. And then another thing is a reality of vocation is that it's, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single grain. And so it is kind of a dying process and a grieving process in a sense of, yeah, the dreams to have a big family and be a doctor and a missionary and all that. But it's a beautiful, just like so excited because the Lord just magnifies it 100-fold.
Sure.
And I know He's going to use all the desires of my heart to build His kingdom. And so it's both grieving as well as excitement.
Sure. Well, I think it's true. It's actually true to some degree in marriage, you know, too. I remember I'll be married 38 years this year to Emily, and a fantastic wife. But when I said yes to her, I was aware that day that I got married that this meant a lot of no's.
Right.
You know, it meant one big yes and a lot of no's. Mm. But it also went into guiding my life dreams, you know, of what I think I, you know, wanted to do. And now I've got a wife and I'll have a family and my decisions have to be made accordingly. So there is a dying there, you know, when it comes to marriage, but there's also this great joy and fulfillment and doing what you are really, really called to do. And I think one of the most exciting things about this year's crop, if you will, 9 fantastic men, is that it's not 9 men who are just saying, yeah, I'm going to be a priest. But it's 9 men who are saying, I am going to join Jesus in His mission. And I'm going to carry on His mission just like He did 2,000 years ago. But I'm going to do it with this charism, with this gift in the body of Christ. And I can say on behalf of the body of Christ, at least in the Twin Cities and the people I know, that we welcome you and we thank you for your yes. And we're looking forward to working with you in His vineyard and in His mission and what He wants to do in the Twin Cities. Because it is an interesting time, right?
Yes, yes, very much so. Yeah. Just excited to, God willing, be a light for the people and give them Jesus and, radiate Christ.
That's fantastic. Well, we'll pray for you. As we go, give us an idea of how we can pray for you in the days, weeks, months ahead.
Thank you. I think just for protection from any fears or anxieties, obviously there's spiritual combat that happens, as well as to just place me in the arms of the Blessed Mother so that she can bring me to Jesus, and just to be a God willing, faithful, holy, and prayerful priest.
You got it. We'll do that. Thanks for joining us today, too.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
24 hours. Amen. It's exciting. Talking with Deacon Michael Daly, he's going to be ordained at the cathedral along with 8 other men who are giving their life to Christ as priests. Folks, pray for them. Remember to pray for them. They are stepping up to the plate, and if we didn't have priests, we wouldn't have the Eucharist. If we didn't have the Eucharist, we wouldn't have the greatest source of grace, and we need it right now in our lives. But I want to remind you of one more thing, and that is this, that priests are not utilitarian machines. They are not sacrament dispensers. They are brothers in Christ. They are members of the family and a great gift, and we need to remember them in prayer as these young men are going to be ordained and begin to serve in this capacity. So, exciting times, and I'm sure we'll come back and revisit a number of them in the months and years ahead. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back in just a moment. Rediscover.
Now more than ever, people value good service, dependability, and trust in a job done right. That's exactly what you'll get from the Auto Glass Installed Company in the Twin Cities.
I'm Nancy Jasperson, along with my husband Michael and my daughter Brandy. We'd like to thank Relevant Radio listeners for making the Auto Glass Installed Company their choice for glass replacement and repair in their vehicles. We've met the nicest people who have heard our ads and tried our quick and complete windshield service. Not only do we service your SUVs, minivans, cars, and trucks, but also street rods and classic cars. I hope the next time you or someone you know needs a chip repair or windshield replaced, you'll give us a try. The Auto Glass Installed Company, 763-274-0177.
Your windshield repair can be done this week at your home or office by a trusted Relevant Radio sponsor, the Auto Glass Installed Company. Call 763-274-0177 or relevantradio.com, keyword glass.
Everything is alright, everything is so bright, yeah, the sun is shining beautiful.
Love that music. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. You know, speaking of that music, I want to encourage you to get a hold of some good Christian music. And you can go to the Rediscover site in the Archdiocese. There's a whole page there on music and artists that you can look into their music and perhaps purchase the music. And joining me for a few minutes on the Rediscover Hour is Susanna Boley, and she's in the Office of Evangelization. Good to see you.
You too.
Well, you know, there's so much happening in the Archdiocese right now, of course, with the ordinations taking place tomorrow. But in the Office of Evangelization, there's so many good things. Music is one of them, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, so if people want to know more about music and they want to know more about what's happening in evangelization, give us sort of the rundown. Where can we go?
Yeah, well, you can go to the Rediscover website and just type in music in the search box. Otherwise, we do have a music tab, and there's a list of all different kinds of genres of music. You can find Christian music that has a country twang to it. You can find local musicians like Ali Alea and Luke Spihar are just a couple, to name a few. And just almost any kind of genre you can think of, we have it on our website.
That's fantastic. And I know that there's a lot of parents who will ask me, well, can you recommend any music for my kids? You know, and well, what do they listen to? And that's one of the things that the website does is that it kind of compares the type of music to something that people might be familiar with as far as style goes.
It does.
Not everybody likes country. Not everybody likes blues. Not everybody likes rock or jazz or whatever. But I think it's a great website. And we just have a couple of big Catholic Watchman events. We just had one out at in Burnsville.
Yes, Mary Mother of the Church.
Fantastic. And that Bishop Cousins.
Bishop Cousins was there and he spoke. There was about 300 men there.
Mm-hmm. And the next one is going to be in Chanhassen.
Yes, at St. Hubert's.
Right.
June 16th.
And I will be speaking there.
You will be.
And that's going to be exciting. We have two more the rest of the year after that. These are rallies. These are big rallies for Catholic Watchmen. Which is the men's initiative here in the Twin Cities, to get men really involved in learning to pray, learning to encounter Jesus, walking in the spirit of St. Joseph, going to Mass every week, serving their family every week and serving their parish, as well as going to confession every month and meeting with men in local Catholic watchman groups in the parish. But we have these rallies four times a year.
Yes, and actually, we were just at a meeting with the parish vanguard at St. Hubert's in Chanhassen, and it was such a gift for me to be able to meet these other men who were really standing by their pastor and just ready to bring this event and this night to St. Hubert's on June 16th. And I won't be there because I'm a woman, but man, I think it's going to be great because you have a great team of guys who are helping put it together.
Right. And the pastor out there at St. Hubert's, which is the patron saint of hunting, by the way, St. Hubert, is Father Rolf Tollefson. And he's opened up the parish for the big rally on September 16th. And I'm going to be talking about walking as though Jesus were inside of you and making choices. How do you make good choices in life? So we've got an evening of food, some great food, adoration. People can go to confession. Men can go to confession. I'll be giving a talk. And it's great fellowship. There's going to be an opportunity to discuss the theme that night also. So you don't have to be a part of one particular parish or another to attend, but that's on September 16th, St. Hubert's. Put it on your calendar. Ladies, if you're listening, get your husband to go there. That's June. What
June
did I just
16th.
Say?
What June 16th.
What did I say?
Not September.
Oh, September. That's okay. September.
But
I think
there is one in September too. So
see, that's
stay
what,
tuned.
See, that's why I've got Susanna here, and she's been serving in such a wonderful way the last couple of years. It's been such an honor to work with you.
Well,
and
thank you, Jeff.
In evangelization, you've done a great job. So September, it'll be Bishop Cousins, and then Archbishop Hebda in November.
Yes, we're excited for that.
Once again, you can find out more information at our website, which is just go to Rediscover.
Rediscovershare.org or yep. rediscover.archspm.org.
Yep, and get all the information there. And then there's a number of wine events coming up. That's the Women's Initiative, Women in the New Evangelization. And you are Susanna Bull. You're the one on the other end of the line that everybody's talking to. It's good to have you on the
well,
show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your work.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. That's Susanna Bowley in the Office of Evangelization. Say, let me talk to you this morning a little bit about how God works in our life, particularly when there's a new chapter in your life. There's something new that the Lord wants to do, and that is the change that is required in our life, typically when He wants to move forward. And I don't know if you're there right now in your life. Maybe you are today even thinking, Lord, I just need You to do something new in my life. I feel like there needs to be something new. I need to change. I need Your grace in a new way. Well, let's talk about that for a few minutes. There's a prophet in the Old Testament that I'm very fond of. That's Hosea. Hosea is a prophet who spoke to Israel, which was the 10 tribes to the north. In the final days of the northern kingdom, Hosea spoke. And the final days when one king would murder another, it was a really difficult time in the northern part of God's people. That's Israel. And Israel was involved in Canaanite religion at the time. Things were not going very well for the families there. And Hosea saw the failure of Israel to acknowledge God. And Israel had turned to Baal worship, had sacrificed at the pagan high places, which included associating with the sacred prostitutes and sanctuaries and worshiping the calf image at Samaria. They also indulged in gross materialism at that particular time. And Hosea had a message for him. He had a message for a people who needed a change in their life. They needed God in their life in a big way. And he was calling them to repentance. You see, God wanted to move in their lives, but they had to do something in order for Him to bless them. And it turns out that in the north, they didn't do it. But I can tell you what Hosea recommended. He recommended that they repent. He recommended that they take a step towards God to prepare their hearts so that God could do a mighty work in their life. Now, we have a lot of stories in the Bible where people did take a step and God did do a mighty work in their life. But in Israel's case in the north, they didn't. And in 722 BC, the Assyrians came down from the north and they obliterated the 10 tribes. And we don't hear from them ever again. And it's sad. But listen to the key scripture that Hosea gave him in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. And I would imagine you've heard this before. in one form or another. Here's what he said to them. This is what he said to the people who were in great need of change in their life. He said, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and shower righteousness on you." So what did he say to do? He said, you need to break up your unplowed ground. I think you get the imagery there. The imagery is that your life is like ground, and God wants to plant a seed to do something new in your life. And if God is going to plant a seed in your life, the ground has to be prepared. You have to prepare your heart to receive that seed that God wants to plant in your life. And we have a term that if you grew up in the cities, it might not mean as much, but if you grew up on a farm, you certainly know what I'm talking about, and that is the fallow ground or unplowed ground. The unplowed ground is a ground that has like a crust on it. And if you were to drop a seed on that ground, it would just lay on top. It wouldn't go deep into the soil because the soil has not been prepared to receive the seed. So what Hosea is saying to the people at that time is that, you know what? You're in a world of hurt right now, and you need God in your life, and you need God to move in your life. You need a fresh move of God in your life. But the seed that he wants to plant in your life, it can't grow. You have to cultivate the ground. You have to repent. You have to turn away from what is killing you, and you need to turn to the Lord. And that's the message I want to share with you today when it comes to discipleship and it comes to being an effective person involved in evangelization, is that your own heart has to be cultivated to receive the message that God has for you this week, next month. Every time you go to Mass, you hear the Word of God. But the question is that Word, that seed, landing on soil that can receive it, germinate, and grow and yield fruit? Or does it just sit on the top of a crusted piece of ground that it cannot take hold? So break up your unplowed ground. Break it up. So when God moves in the lives of his people, he expects us to do our part. And that's what he's asking us to do. Now, how can you break up the ground of a crusty heart that doesn't receive the seed? Well, a deep repentance is called for. And I would encourage you that if you really, really want God to do a new work in your life, in your marriage, in your walk with him, in your relationship with your children, at work, your colleagues, that one of the first steps is to go to confession. And go to confession, and if you haven't been to confession for a while, then go and say to the priest, "I haven't been to confession for a while. I'm not even exactly sure what to do," although you could Google it, because there's a lot of documents out there that tell you how to go to confession. But confession is a good first step where you go and you say to the Lord, "Look, I need to turn around in my life. I need to cultivate the soil of my heart to receive what you are about to do in my life." And when you go to confession, you are tilling that soil. You are exposing your heart to the Lord, and you're breaking up the unplowed ground in your life. And you'll come out refreshed. You really, really will. And you'll come out with a heart that can receive the Word of God in your life for something that he wants to do. There are a lot of this imagery in the Bible about sowing and reaping. In fact, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "A man reaps what he sows. So whatever you sow, if it's unrighteousness, you will reap destruction. If you sow righteousness, it will be the fruit of the Spirit. It will be the graces of the Lord. This is what you're going to reap." But the sowing and reaping is in the context of soil, and that soil is your heart. And that's why it's so important to cultivate your heart. God wants us to reap, but we must sow. What happens in our lives so often is the soil of our daily lives is undisturbed. It's undisturbed. We carry on undisturbed, quiet, to the point where the soil of our heart develops a crust that does not permit the seed to grow and bear fruit. And there are areas of our life that used to be tilled, and you would sow towards righteousness. An example of that might be you used to be a witness at work. You used to study God's word. You used to be involved daily with a devotion. You prayed novenas. You were with your family. We could go on and on, but now that portion of your life, it lays dormant. Where you used to pray the novena, where you used to pray a daily devotion, where you used to read the Magnificat and go to Mass and regular confession, it has laid dormant for a week, 2 weeks, month, year, a decade. And as a result, you have become unproductive. Now, I'm not pointing the finger at you, because I'll tell you what, I've been there myself. You become unproductive, and we become filled with noxious weeds. Noxious weeds. And here's what's interesting, is that the weeds that that oftentimes are spoken of, like in the New Testament, are a weed called the darnel plant. You can look it up. The darnel plant is a plant that looks very much like wheat, but it's a noxious weed. And in the early immature stages of the darnel plant, you can hardly tell the difference between this weed and wheat. It's only when they fully grow that you see the difference between the weed and the wheat. Now, the reason I say that is because in our lives as Catholics, as Christians, oftentimes we can look like everything is going fine. And our friends might even look at us, our colleagues might look at us and say, well, there's a great Christian. But inside, you know, I know, that my internal life, the life of my heart is not where it used to be. And maybe there's even some remaining fruit in my life that it looks like I am walking with the Lord, but truth is, I have become dormant. And so if that's you today, just receive it as a word from the Lord, from His word, that He wants us to break up that fallow ground and return to Him. We see a lot of examples of this idea of we need to do something before He moves in our life. I'll give you a couple of instances real quickly. In 2 Kings chapter 4, there was that foil is a combination of four and oil, which is what I was just going to mention to you. In 2 Kings chapter 4, no oil until the vessels were gathered. The man of God was called on to gather the vessels first, and God would provide oil. No oil until the vessels were gathered. 2 Kings chapter 5, no healing until the leper had dipped seven times. So in other words, there was something required on our end, and God moved in a powerful way. Going back to Hosea's message, you want God to plant His seed in your heart and yield fruit, then break up the fallow ground. Prepare for God's word. Hosea, of course, no harvest until the fallow ground is plowed and prepared. In the prophet Joel, chapter 2, he said there's no reconciliation without repentance. So in other words, what I'm saying, and I think what Scripture says to us, is that we don't just walk down the road and suddenly God blesses the socks off of us and we think, how did that happen? No, there's usually something required from us first for God to move in a powerful way in our life. And that's repentance. That's breaking up the unplowed ground. That is changing the habits and the patterns that we have fallen into. And I'll tell you, I've been guilty of this in my own life. I have. There's been times where I didn't read the Word of God consistently like I used to. I didn't pray like I used to. I wasn't paying attention to the consolations of my heart, to the longings of my heart like I used to. And I think we all go through that from time to time, and we need to be reminded. Well, guess what? Today's a reminder. God loves you. He wants to call you to Himself in a relationship of intimacy, a relationship where true change really takes place. Sometimes we need to wake up. It happens in marriages, you know, where a marriage can go on for 10 years, 15, 20 years, and all of a sudden you realize we're not doing what we used to. We're not spending the time together like we used to. We're falling further and further apart because we're so busy with the things of this world. We need to break up the unplowed ground in our marriage. So our relationship with Jesus is like a marriage relationship. It's a bridal spousal relationship. And there are times where we need to break up that fallow ground. I remember what, in conclusion, I remember what Joshua said in Joshua chapter 3. God was about to lead his people over, you know, into the promised land, into a new chapter in their lives. And what did he say to them? He said in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, sanctify yourselves. The word is kadosh, to be clean. Sanctify yourselves. Separate yourselves for the work that God is about to do in your life. He's not going to just walk up beside you and suddenly surprise you. He wants you to turn to him so he can do that new work in your life. Just a word of encouragement today as we continue on in our journey and walking with Christ. Once again, I want to remind you that coming up Saturday is the big, big ordination. 9 fine young men who are going to be priests in the Archdiocese. And we want to remember to pray for them. In fact, let me just take a moment to ask you, will you pray for them? Will you pray for the 9 men that they will become fruitful, great, holy priests? That's their intention. That's what they've been formed in, is to become really Christ on earth, to serve in his mission. But they are part of the body of Christ. We're related to them in the communion of the saints, where we share all things in common. Let's pray for them. Let's lift them up. In fact, let's do that right now, shall we? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, we lift up these 9 young men who are giving their lives to you, and we ask you, Lord, to bless them. We thank you for their yes. We pray, Lord, that you'll give them a resolve and a courage and a tenacity in their priesthood that will yield much fruit and will bring many people to you, and they'll be a blessing to your kingdom. And as a result of their yes, many, many people will come to you and experience your life, the life of the Trinity, and experience one day the beatific vision to be with you in heaven forever and ever. Bless their families, Lord, and bless all of those who attend the ordination, that they would be moved and changed even in being a part of it. We celebrate what you're doing, Lord, in this archdiocese. You are doing so many wonderful things. We pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Paul Sadek joins us with so many great things happening in the Archdiocese. We've talked about
oodles
the ordination.
And boodles of things.
We got more, though, don't we?
We do. The 2016 Archdiocesan Prayer Vigil to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is a time of prayer, penance, and healing for our archdiocese and our priests. Join us at St. Peter's Catholic Church, Mendota, Thursday, June 2nd through Friday, June 3rd. Time for Eucharistic adoration, reflections, and devotions throughout the vigil. Vigil begins with solemn vespers at 7 p.m. and concludes at 7 p.m. on Friday, June 3rd, with a solemn high mass. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org. Still getting used to my new bifocals.
St. Bridget Parish in Minneapolis invites you to the heart of the Northside Festival. For over 100 years, the parish community of St. Bridget has been present on the north side of Minneapolis, trying to meet the practical needs of all those who live both in their parish community and the wider community. In order to help provide funding for some of these ministries, they are hosting their annual festival, being held on Sunday, June 5th, from 10:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. at the St. Bridget campus. Come and enjoy the many activities taking place and great food. For more information, visit www.stbridgetnorthside.com.
Come to receive God's mercy and healing at a healing mass with Father Ivo Pavich. Thousands have experienced many healings through his ministry, spiritually, psychologically, and physically. The evening begins with rosary at 6:30 p.m., mass at 7 p.m., healing service to follow. The healing mass will be at St. Peter's in St. Paul, Tuesday, June 7th, at St. Michael's in St. Michael, Wednesday, June 8th, and Thursday, June 9th at Epiphany in Coon Rapids. For more information, contact Stephanie Perchik at 763-242-2821.
Father Joseph Gillespie invites you to St. Albert the Great Parish to join in a delightful concert series of summertime jazz. The second event is the Jazz in the Jazz series is on Sunday, June 12th from 1 to 3 p.m. The cost is $15 at the door, and the June 12th concert will feature noted soprano Maria Jetty and talented pianist, accordionist Dan Chouinard. And that will be taking place on June 12th.
Men are invited to the Catholic Watchman Rally at St. Hubert's Catholic Church in Chanhassen Thursday, June 16th, 6:30 to 9 p.m. Jeff Cavins will present On Jesus Walking in Me, The Choices I Make. This Catholic Watchman Rally is an opportunity for men to draw closer to Jesus Christ and invest in fellowship with other men. Time for adoration and confession. Dinner provided, no registration required. Contact Susanna Boley at BOLLES@archspm.org or call 651-291-4411. And what's up next week?
Well, coming up next on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to talk about marriage. And we got a surprise for you. We'll be joined by newly married couple Matt and Justina Kopp, who will be celebrating their first wedding anniversary this coming September. And we will hear from them about their expectations going into marriage, as well as their hopes and dreams as they look to the future. So we'll learn all about marriage. That's next on the Rediscover Hour.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.